Spirit Catholic Radio, KVSS. We are Catholic Radio for the Christian community. Good morning and welcome to Spirit Mornings with Bruce McGregor and
Chris McGregor.
And it's Monday, so you know what that means because we're at about 7:35 here. It's time to get geeky with our great buddy Mark Hart, the Bible Geek. Mark serves as Executive Vice President for Life Teen International, an award-winning author, very sought-after speaker, and indeed a real blessing to have him here week in and week out, sharing the good news of the Lord as he does with us every Monday here on Ask the Bible Geek. Mark, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Oh, it's always good to be with you all.
Well, we love being with you, Mark, especially when we're talking about St. Paul.
St. Paul.
Oh, this has been fun so far. It's been fun for me. I don't know if anybody else has been falling asleep or having fun, but I was so happy about this gift of the year of St. Paul, and this has been a really tremendous gift to me personally. So I hope that people are learning. Hope people are enjoying these little ones we're doing.
The response that we've gotten from people has been so tremendous, Mark. They are really beginning to learn who St. Paul is and just enjoying the teachings that he has for us. The thing that I have discovered in this year is that he's not speaking to a historical community 2,000 years ago. He really is speaking to us today as well.
Oh, he absolutely is. He absolutely is. Because, yeah, and like all Scripture, St. Paul is timeless. While he may have existed in a point in time in history, the fact is that it's the Spirit of God and the truth of God, and that's just timeless for us all forever, you know.
Absolutely. They said.
That's right. And one of my favorite letters, of course, and they're so good. Every single one of them is a gem. But the letter to the Ephesians and the church in Ephesus, I mean, that really is one that, especially that chapter 6, I'm taking it to heart right now, Mark Hart.
How are you?
Uh-huh.
Are you talking about putting on your armor for battle?
That's
you
right.
You got it.
I love that sword of the Spirit.
The Spirit is the Word of God, the helmet of salvation, and the breastplate, absolutely.
The Sword of the Spirit is the title of your new book that you co-authored with Christopher Cuddy that helps everybody understand these letters and St. Paul so much better.
It is. We're trying to have a little play on words there. You know, obviously the Sword of the Spirit, as it says in Ephesians 6, is the Word of God, but we're also saying, again, that St. Paul, really, his life and his reckless abandonment to God, his humility really became a sword in the hands of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, so... Absolutely. He's a tremendous weapon of grace.
Well, let's unsheath that sword and talk a little bit about where and why this particular letter came to be.
Well, if you're gonna start with Ephesians, it's important. Ephesians is actually a great letter to start with if you're reading St. Paul. If people are going to start reading St. Paul, I usually encourage them to read either Ephesians or Philippians, because you're not going to get into, right off the bat, you're not going to get into as many of the doctrinal issues. You know, do I have to be circumcised? Do I not? I'm sure people have been listening to this series or sick of hearing about circumcision by now. Mm-hmm. I just want to remind you, not nearly as sick as the people back then were. Okay.
Yeah, I bet.
but when it comes to Ephesians, it's important to understand a little bit about Ephesus. And I'm trying to give a little bit of background in these different places as we go through these each week. Ephesus was about the third... or probably the third or fourth largest city in the entire Roman Empire at the time. It was a seaport town, okay, so it had travelers, it had traders coming in and out of it from Rome, from Egypt, from Greece. So you could see that this would be a cultural epicenter. Ephesus is actually found in what's modern-day Turkey. Okay, so you can think of it as a seaport town on the side of the water. It was a trade town. It was a lot like Corinth in that way, but Ephesus did not have the reputation that Corinth did necessarily. Corinth was far more decadent. But the same way we spoke about with Corinth, the Corinthians having a huge temple dedicated to the Greek goddess of love, Ephesus had an enormous temple, and it was dedicated to the Greek goddess of hunting. Does anybody know who that is? Anybody? Anyone?
Artemis.
Artemis, look at you.
Well, hey, I know my mythology.
Yes, you do. And this temple was literally, it was so big, it was actually, I mean, this is the kind of thing that was on par with the ancient wonders of the world, okay? Mm-hmm. Ephesus had an outdoor theater that was said that they found through different excavations and things, and it was believed that it could have seated up to 25,000 people.
Wow.
So when you start to think about that, I mean, just from a cultural standpoint, from a socioeconomic standpoint, I mean, Ephesus was not a small pile of bricks. That this is one of the foremost cities. I mean, it was the third or fourth biggest city back then in the Roman Empire. And to understand that, we have to understand that, you know, that the people there were not uncivilized. They were some of the most civilized people in the world. Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, because they had such influence from Rome and from Greece and Egypt, that kind of thing, they had a lot of different ideologies when it came to religion, a lot of different thoughts about who God was. You know, the idea of a monotheistic God, of one God, was very foreign to many of them. So this is why Paul actually spent longer in Ephesus than he did in any other city. Most scholars would agree that, but he spent upwards of 2 years in Ephesus. Mm-hmm. And that was a long time for him. Usually he would go to a city for several months, but then he would keep moving on. And what ended up happening is that in his 2 years there, I mean, Paul was such a prolific preacher, and people started listening to what he had to say. You actually will read a little bit in Ephesians that there were several followers of Artemis, and they became very angry at St. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was having such tremendous success in converting the people who were following Artemis. Okay, so he was basically converting these Ephesians, the people who lived in Ephesus. He was converting the Ephesians to Christ, and what's really funny is when you read about it, you can read about it in Acts of the Apostles. Actually, you go to Acts chapter 19, but it's funny because it became about money. Because there was a silversmith named Demetrius, and he was making little shrines, like little silver shrines to the Greek goddess Artemis, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because Paul was having so much success in converting the Ephesians to Christ, that this put a huge dent in the trinket selling business of Artemis.
Uh-oh.
And basically what ended up happening is they were chasing him out of town because they were losing so much money. It wasn't necessarily, it was sort of like, okay, he's going to talk about Christ, okay, who really cares? And they didn't really care about what he was doing until so many people started converting that it started costing them money. And then they got really angry. They wanted to get rid of him.
And it all goes back to the money, doesn't it?
It always goes back to the money, doesn't it? I mean, we can look at everything goes back. Even in this past election in America, you know, what do they say to everybody coming out of the polls? What was the number one? It wasn't life issues.